Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Search Update.
Championship weekend, big game in the AFC, Buffalo versus Kansas City. Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, versus Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. That is the localized interest round here that we will be paying attention to as the search continues, because these two guys appear to be finalists for the Texans head coaching job. Could the loser get the gig? Could you have to wait a little bit longer? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a hell of a matchup between Bieniemy and Leslie.
If it is these two, and I think you and I are in agreement, these are the top two, won't we know either way? Let's say Leslie Frazier loses, and we don't have an announcement Sunday night or Monday morning or whenever, right? Tuesday, Wednesday. Then it's Eric Bieniemy. If it is Leslie Frazier, then obviously we get the, you know, we get the announcement. I think we're kind of going to have a real strong hunch either way.
I think Buffalo's got a hell of a shot.
I do too. I was just example.
I think we need to look at Pat Mahomes' foot, not necessarily his head. I think we need to look at Patrick Mahomes' foot. I think that is the key. But all eyes will be on those two, at least round here. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. That's a search update right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's hear from Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, a guy who, it seems like the majority of people, according to the bracket that we put out on sportsradio610.com and according to a lot of the chatter from Loopholes, shout out to the Loopholes if you listen, you are one, seems like he's the guy that people want to see as the next coach of the Texans. Here is Eric Bieniemy talking about Patrick Mahomes. How does Patrick Mahomes look? He was a limited participant in practice. How does Patrick Mahomes look, Mr. Bieniemy?
He looks like Pat to me.
Okay.
So he's been great in meetings. You know, he's fun. He's energetic. So you can always count on Pat being Pat.
Okay, there we go.
He's playing. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's playing.
Who's kidding who?
I'm telling you, watch the foot, though.
Oh, no.
That's the thing to watch, the foot.
You've been saying that, and I agree.
If he didn't have a hurt foot, I think Patrick Mahomes plays. That's the difference. But with this fast Buffalo defense and with the confidence they have, I think you need to watch that foot. Watch the foot.
I think that the Bills are going to have a chance, would have a chance, if Patrick Mahomes was 100% healthy. I just have that much confidence in him. I think, look, the Chiefs are the favorite. Everybody thinks they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying you're crazy. I just think the Bills have a legit chance no matter what.
I'm leaning that way right now.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards Buffalo right now. Yeah. And I think Kansas City is the best team in the NFL. I just think that foot is messed up. I think that foot is jacked up.
I keep going back to those, and this is clearly reading too much into it. I will admit that up front. But they've had moments where they've gone into games, and they've had games, I should say, or extended periods of games, where they're not clicking. You know, the reason I like the Bills' chances is they are at the end of the year playing some outstanding. I mean, they're peaking. The Chiefs have had some lulls, you know what I mean?
And you got to look at that Buffalo defense. They're average. Yeah. They're giving up less than 19 points per game. They lost to Kansas City earlier in the season, but Buffalo's playing their best football right now on the defensive side of the rock. And Eric Bieniemy, potentially the next head coach of the Houston Texans, current offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, he was asked about that very thing. What do you think about this Buffalo defense, Coach?
I see a hell of a team that's improved for whatever reason. You know, don't get me wrong. Our guys came out and played some good ball. but I've seen a huge difference in their approach and how they're handling things. Those guys are flying around. I think the world of 58, obviously Edmonds does a hell of a job. The thing that I respect is, you know, watching that secondary. It's a veteran group. Those guys do a great job of communicating. So this is going to be a fun game. And as we know, everything starts up front. They got some horses up front. We're going to see a lot of line games, and that's okay. Our guys understand that we got to set the tone, and we got to start it early and often.
How can you disagree with anything that he said there? I mean, that's exactly what it's going to be about. I think they're a better defense than they were the first time. I think they're a better team than they've been in the first half of the season.
Patrick Mahomes has a chance to get his second Super Bowl at the age of 25. Tom Brady got his second at 26. He was 26. He won his second Super Bowl right down the street against the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots beat the Jake Delhomme and the Panthers. Good game. I remember Mushin Muhammad tying the game on a long pass from Delhomme. Yep. I'm sure you were covering it.
I was there.
If you look at Tom Brady's Super Bowls, and we tend to, I don't want to say we get lazy, but we tend to bottom line Super Bowls a lot and say, well, this guy's better than this guy because he has this many rings. If you look at the point differential in Tom Brady's six Super Bowls that he's won, it's been a three-point difference three times, and it's been a six-point difference three times. You've had Adam Vinatieri kick a field goal against the Rams. You had that Carolina game where Casey kicked the ball out of bounds and Brady was able to capitalize. You had the meltdown by the Atlanta Falcons. You had Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks go dumb and decide to throw the ball on the 1 yard line instead of handing it to beast mode.
Right.
We measure these rings and rightfully so, because that is the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really very, very close, and there's so much more that goes into it when it comes to winning those rings. We could easily be talking about Tom Brady having two or three Super Bowls and losing many times, but I don't want to call him lucky, but he's gotten a lot of breaks and things have gone his way, and the Patriots have been a very well-coached team for him to win these six.
I think Seattle was the biggest break.
That was a joke.
That
I was in a Vegas sports book during that. That was a joke.
Run the ball.
Absolute joke.
That one I'll give you. That one, they should have lost that one. But I everything you pointed out, three-point losses, wins, six-point wins, I think that's a compliment to Brady. I mean, you know,
it's a compliment to the Patriots, too.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, they got lucky. The one they got lucky on was Seattle.
Yeah, that was
I don't even think Atlanta was that lucky. I think because, I mean, they did come back from 28-3.
I think they earned the mystique. A lot of times you say this team choked. I think a lot of times whenever you're in that situation, you're the Atlanta Falcons and you're facing just the mystique of Belichick and Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I think that mystique that they've earned and that they've put together, it makes the knees buckle a little bit.
There's a no factor. You know, oh, no, they're starting to groove. They're starting to come back on us. And then you tighten up. You know, and that's the mystique. That's Brady.
Games on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 610. Here's more from Coach Eric Bieniemy. And I'm also going to defend the honor of the name Karen. I think the name Karen has been getting way too much crap on the internet. The sweet Kansas City lady by the name of Karen is going to defend the honor of the reputation that the name Karen has gotten. But before that, let's hear a little bit more from Eric Bieniemy as well as sweet Karen right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hopefully everyone has remained safe from the last time that I've seen you guys. Here we are again, third year in a row in the AFC championship game. What a better place to be here in the whole entire world at this particular point. You know, we get an opportunity to defend home field and pursue our goals. With that said, I'm all ears.
You feel that since you've kind of become the face of this whole coaching search, if you will, you know, just especially nationally, do you feel any regret or remorse that it's come to the fact that you're kind of the face of this?
Here's the thing. It's always good to be mentioned and having an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And obviously, yes, I do want to be a head coach. But when it's all said and done with, my job is to make sure everything that we're doing right now is not to take away from the goals that we're trying to accomplish. The only thing that matters today, we got better. Okay, today we had an opportunity to make sure we can take care of situational football as far as short yardage, goal line, and our third down situations. So now it's time for us to go back in and chop wood, watch this tape, and get ready for the next day. My own personal business, when all that's time to take care of itself, that will take care of itself. But thanks for asking.
Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, Ms. Karen. How you doing?
I'm wondering, do you save some really cool plays for this part of the season that we haven't seen yet and we can kind of watch for?
You know what, Miss Karen? I'm not going to even give that away because we have so many tons of plays. You just roll out that Rolodex, just choose a few, pull them out from the Joe files. And but I'll say this. At this particular time of the year, you just want your guys to make sure that they play assignment-sound football. Will we have a wrinkle or two? Probably so. But when it's all said and done with, we just want to make sure we're putting our guys in the best situation. And then when it's all said and done with, we can end up celebrating and going to pursue our goal in Tampa.
There you go.
Sweet Karen. I got to defend the honor of the name Karen.
That wasn't a good look for Karen right there.
I think Karen.
Do you have any trick plays?
Well, I mean, that was sweet. She's a sweet, innocent lady.
You don't ask that question?
Sweet, innocent lady,
that's
though.
That's NFL journalism 101.
She's a sweet, innocent lady.
Okay, let's ask that question to Bill O'Brien, see what he would have said.
If he yelled at Karen, Bill O'Brien can go straight to hell. Here is a little snippet, because I've been, you know, roaming around the Kansas City press conferences, mm-hmm. and I got to say, the name Karen has just gotten way, 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 way too slandered on the internet. And I think sweet Kansas City Karen, I think she is a prime example that there are some very sweet Karens out there. Here is the best of sweet Karen by way of Kansas City.
Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Tyreek. You're awesome.
Hey, you're awesome.
I wanted to just ask you, I mean, in that game, that fourth down play, you guys stepped up.
Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Travis. How are you?
Hello.
Congratulations.
Hello. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Coach Spags. How are you today?
Hi, Karen. I'm doing great.
Go ahead, Karen. Let's get you on. There you go.
There we go. Hi, Tyron. Good to see you.
Pleasure.
Go ahead, Karen.
Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, Ms. Karen. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm wondering, do you save some really cool plays for this part of the season that we haven't seen yet and we can kind of watch for?
Sweet Karen.
Come on.
What a sweet lady.
We should work in Houston.
We got Mark Berman, and they got Karen. Karen just seems so pleasant.
You hear me now? I didn't do anything different.
Karen Kornacki.
Just listen to Karen's reaction when she holds the mute button. She's accountable. Mark Berman blames someone else for holding the mute button. You got it. You got that lack accountability if you're Mark Berman and you don't have the mute button and you try to blame poor Omar for the mute button. Listen to
I'm
the
doing
difference
great.
Between Karen and Karen. Go ahead. Here she is. She had the mute button.
There you go.
There we go. Hi, Tyron.
There we go. Hey, Tyron. Here's Berman when he has the mute button.
You hear me now? I didn't do anything different.
Lack of accountability.
I will. That Karen, it looks like it's Karen Kornacki. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's related to Steve Kornacki from, the guy on the big board during the election.
Yeah, no idea who that is.
The guy with the khaki pants, he does Sunday Night Football, too?
No idea.
You do, too.
I have no idea.
You do not watch Sunday Night Football?
I did not. I don't do
You
not
don't
know.
Watch Sunday Night Football at halftime?
I don't know who that guy is. Never heard of him. Ever. Never heard of him.
So you haven't seen him
He's
at
seen
halftime.
Him before.
Maybe. Seen a lot of people. But I don't know their names.
You've seen him before. You're a football guy.
What's going on with Landry right now?
I don't know who he is.
Figgy, what's happening with him?
Never heard of him. Ever. Never heard of him. Don't know. Football Friday here on Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez.
God, the hoops you jump through.
Figgy Fig with you. I don't know who Steve Kornacki is. Help me out. 713-572-4610. I'll Google him. No idea who the hell that is. This Sunday, the forgotten one, J.J. Watt, is going to have a prime example of what leaving Houston can do for your career. We'll lay out the case on Football Friday next.
He sucks at football.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Well, yeah, for sure. I spent the season with, you know, Deshaun Watson and, you know, being with Patrick last season. Both of those guys, pretty similar into what they bring. You know, obviously both of them are the franchise guys and both of them are highly competitive. They come in the building with the right spirit, the right attitude. They work the right way. And obviously they have the talent to lead a football club. And I think anytime you have two guys like that in that position, in the same conference, you know, it's going to be special, especially once you talk about getting into playoff football and championship football. You know, I wouldn't mind playing against Deshaun Watson in big games. Feel like he's one of those players that brings it out of you. He makes you prepare the right way. And I'm sure Patrick does that as well for a lot of people.
Well, you don't get your wish, Tyron. There was a big game between the Texans and Chiefs last year, but the two franchises have gone in different directions. Well, really, the Chiefs have remained the same.
Yeah.
It's hard to fall from the top. They've remained at the top. Texans, 4-12, looking for a new coach, and Deshaun Watson, disgruntled, going to be watching the game on Sunday with Tyrann Mathieu and the Kansas City Chiefs. Tyrann Mathieu is a prime example of finding the ideal situation and basically increasing your legacy about as much as you could possibly do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Tyrann Mathieu stays in Houston, I think he could have been a solid player. But in this system, with the way that he was used, with the talent he had around him, Tyrann Mathieu was not going to be what he is right now, which is a all-pro caliber player that could stack Super Bowls and make a legitimate case to be a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
The decision to go to Kansas City and be a missing piece instead of staying in Houston took Tyrann Mathieu's career to the next level. And I wonder if J.J. Watt, as he's watching that and seeing Tyrann Mathieu with the Kansas City Chiefs go from being good player to Hall of Fame player, I wonder if he watches that and just says, I'm already a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. What if I could find a situation like that? What will happen to me when I leave Houston? Will I thrive and take it to even another level like Tyrann Mathieu did?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happened with Tyrann Mathieu. Perfect situation for the Honey Badger or Honey Boo Boo, however you look at it.
You know, when he was here, it's easy to forget, but when he was here, we were actually wondering if his best years are – he was young. I think he was 27, something like that, 26, something like that. But you know, he's a violent player, much like JJ. You know, he's been hitting, he's been hit a lot, and we're wondering, well, is are we ever going to see that Honey Badger again because of the situation he was in here? He goes to Kansas City and takes it back up a notch, but he's not the only example. I mean, there've been numerous examples, of players who you think, well, how much do they have left in the tank? They move on and they finally get what they want and they play at that level too. So JJ has to be thinking about that. JJ has to be actually circling teams. We all say Pittsburgh and Green Bay. I don't necessarily think it's those two alone. I mean, I think he's just looking for the best fit, where I can win, where I can be a Tyrann Mathieu, where I can be a Reggie White, one of those things.
He did make some plays here. I will give him that. Mm-hmm. Here is the best of Tyrann Mathieu when he was a Houston Texan, courtesy of the great Mark Vandermeer.
First down, Miami at the Dolphin 28-yard line. Osweiler gets the snap. Here's a blitz, and he's sacked, just leveled. The Badger gets him. On 3rd and 6 for the Houston 26, Kessler over the middle. It's tipped and picked off by Tyrann Mathieu. 3rd down and 6, New England from the Patriot 10-yard line. Split backs. Brady gets the snap. Brady with time, throwing over the middle, and it's picked off. Picked off at the 15-yard line. Tyrann Mathieu with his first big play as a Houston Texan.
Some teams, when they make the postseason, it's just an escape from the norm. It's the representation of a year-to-year league in the NFL. That I think that's what the Texans were last year against the Kansas City Chiefs. And in fairness, you did trade DeAndre Hopkins, and you made some moves that made your football team worse. But there are teams like the Texans that make an AFC championship and then they miss the playoffs and then they go back in the playoffs, and it's basically like a seesaw. And then there are teams that are there all the time, mm-hmm. which I think is what Kansas City is right now. They tried to build up this rivalry thing after last year when the Texans were up 24-0, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's been proven in front of us. But I do wonder about Buffalo and if Buffalo is going to be one of those teams that is here to stay, because all signs point to it. If you just look at the talent that Buffalo has right now, Buffalo's put together a hell of a roster. Mm-hmm. They got young talents. They got veteran guys. They got the quarterback. They got the receivers. They got a front office that seems to know what they're doing when it comes to drafting and when it comes to, you know, bringing in guys mm-hmm. off the street. I do wonder if, you know, while we were trying last year to talk about the Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs and what this could be, I do wonder if Sunday's going to be a preview of a more realistic scenario of two top dogs in the AFC battling it out and duking it out for a long time to come.
I agree. And there's more than two. I mean, are the Ravens going to go anywhere? I don't know about that. I mean, I think they'll be around. And there's also teams that are rising with more prospects and more a brighter future, so to speak. So the Texans, you know, kind of are caught in kind of a no man's land. where you got the Chiefs, you got the Bills. The Bills are built for the, you know, for a while. They're going to be around for a while. Ravens are going to be in there for a while too. Browns fall into that category of maybe next year's Bills. You know, where they make that run, their quarterback finally establishes himself. He's been getting better the last couple of years. So the Texans are in that kind of middle ground right now, where it's hard to say, are they closer? You know, they're closer to the Browns and, excuse me, to the Bills and the Chiefs at the quarterback position. They couldn't be further away everywhere else.
Yeah, and that's where it matters. That's where it matters. We know that better than anything. And I just got to wonder, because we've had all these storylines and we've been talking about the Texans for a long time. And really, Deshaun Watson, this is the most attention Deshaun Watson's ever gotten. I mean, this is Deshaun Watson is the main story in the NFL during the postseason. And that might continue this weekend. Who knows? But we've talked about Cal McNair. Jack Easterby's gotten all his run. We've talked about Deshaun Watson. We've talked about the next head coach. We've talked about Leslie Frazier. We've talked about Eric Bieniemy. We've talked about all these things. We've talked about Andre Johnson. We've talked about all these things with the Houston Texans, but it just seems like we forgot about somebody.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish.
Jay.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish.
Jay. We don't say anything about J.J. Watt. He is like a back page, buried in the corner story. We talk about everything except J.J. Watt. It's like this guy's not even here anymore. Is that because it's just a foregone conclusion that he's gone? Is this just a sign that it's Deshaun Watson's franchise and he's the face? Is it a sign that Cal McNair is now the polarizing figure along with Jack Easterby? How have we forgot about Jay? We forgot about Jay. This is the first time ever that I can remember covering this team since JJ's been here where it's like the Texans are getting the most national attention possible, and this guy's not even in the headlines. He's not. He is a bullet point, a small bullet point.
I think it's because JJ Watt is George Springer, in a sense. A better one, which is, you know, saying something. But I think most people are like, well, JJ... he's gone. You know, JJ, you know, it's almost like acceptance with JJ. Whereas Deshaun, you're like, oh my God, are you crazy? I mean, he's kind of like got that George Springer vibe.
It sucks though, because when George left, he went out, I don't want to say like a champ, but George Springer did go out
in game seven.
Well, he went out in game seven of an ALCS. Mm-hmm. You know, during a year in which the Astros weren't expected to do much and they ended up making it to the ALCS, and George had some good moments there. Gerrit Cole, like when he left, and I'm not going to try to put him on the platform when it comes to being a legend in the city, but he was the best pitcher on the team, and it looked like they were going to win a World Series. Like, he had that good start in Game 6. This is just a weird way for J.J. to go out. If we have seen J.J. Watt play his last snap with the Houston Texans, this isn't quite riding off into the sunset. I'm sure we'll get a nice Instagram post if he leaves, and I'm sure it's going to be emotional, and I'm sure it's going to have that extra JJ sizzle on it. But, man, you want to talk about going out in a non-ideal manner. That's what happened with JJ Watt. It's sad. It's really sad.
But isn't that why he's on his way out?
Because
he, you know – Had they had a AFC Championship run, had they, you know, kind of been in the mix with the roster that's better, and maybe just dropped Bill O'Brien because they didn't think they could take him over the top and brought in a kick-ass coach, JJ wouldn't be going anywhere. I think he's leaving he's kind of got that George Springer vibe, but he's leaving for an entirely different reason. He's leaving because, you know, George didn't really have a lot left to prove here, and they couldn't afford to keep him and keep other pieces.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been smart.
Right. So JJ's leaving because, I mean, what else can I do? I'm done here because we're losing, and as he put it, we suck. By the way, that was awesome.
We didn't
really give the best player or second best said we suck, and so that was a sign right there. I mean, he's leaving for an entirely different reason.
And I think he still has a lot left in the tank. That's the thing that stinks the most is he doesn't have anything around him. Seth Payne just tweeted out, you know, some video of JJ and just how teams avoid him. And I think Pro Football Focus has him top one or two in double teams. He's balled out, but because there's nothing around him and because it's such a team game, you almost feel like if you just turn on the TV and you're not really paying extra attention to 99, mm-hmm. man, this guy's losing it. He's not.
No.
And they're I don't want to say they've wasted it, but my gosh, this guy's still got a lot left. And it's just crazy that we have forgot about Jay, J-Lo.
We have. That, by the way, that video that, that Seth tweeted out, I was looking at it this morning. It's pretty incredible. What, 90% of the snaps he's getting double teamed on runs? I mean, that's how – don't tell me he doesn't have anything left in the tank. Because every team that the Texans face are terrified of him.
Yeah, he's the man. Yeah. He's the man. I wish JJ the best, but damn, man, we have forgot about Jay. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Football Friday – presented by the greatness of Carbox Hoppadillo. Gary Kubiak, he's retired, and it has me feeling kind of like Jack Nicholson. I'm going to put the sunglasses on, and I'm going to tell you why. Gary has me feeling like Jack. Plus, as the Texans look for head coaches, other teams are filling out very impressive staffs. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, I got the shades on. I'll tell you why in just a sec. But before we do, Lewis Riddick interviewed for the Texans GM job. Apparently he's a little bit, I don't want to say bitter, but he is kind of disgusted with the situation the Texans are in after the hiring of Nick Caserio. Here's Lewis Riddick of ESPN talking about the Texans situation.
This is what happens when you get sloppy and careless regarding relationships and trust in any level of business, whether it be in the NFL or anything. When you tell somebody something, in this case, a franchise caliber player something, you know that he is someone who, you know, a lot of your success rides on. And then you just totally ignore it, whether it was intentionally or not intentionally. This is what you inherit. And now then you don't have a head coach. You have a new general manager. You have no one to blame but yourself. That's just mind-boggling. Because this is about relationship management. That's all it is. And it's about communication. That's all it is. And you blew it. And now you've ticked him off. And now you're going to have to pay the price.
Lewis Riddick not happy with the Texans.
At least now we know why he didn't get the job. If he's being honest with Cal and Easterby and he comes in there and talks about the lack of communication and all that other stuff.
Well, it didn't happen until after the hire.
I know what I'm saying, but they had to have asked him about the situation because the situation was a mess when he got here.
I also wonder if that kind of fired up ESPN on top of a lot of things. I know Adam Schefter pretty much got fed stories by the old PR staff and Lewis Riddick not getting the job, along with the obvious unhappiness with Deshaun Watson. I wonder if that's just kind of like some fuel to the fire when it comes to what people think of the Texans and how they present their info.
I do think a lot of people are overstating things when they share an opinion on the Texans. But I also believe that, I mean, I don't think Riddick was biased or bitter here.
He's been criticizing them for a while.
Yeah. And so I think he's just being honest. I mean, we all know he's definitely good at that. Telling you his opinion on these things.
Yeah, we were high on Lewis Riddick when he got interviewed. I was intrigued by it, but mm-hmm. I like Nick Caserio too. I think Nick Caserio is qualified, but national media types continue to talk about the Houston Texans. Gary Kubiak makes it official. Man. I think this is his 13th retirement by my count. Gary Kubiak, former coach of the Houston Texans, retires. Arian Foster doesn't even talk about football. Arian Foster put out a rare football tweet after the news broke. Quotes, Gary Kubiak changed the trajectory of my life, believed and pushed me to be better. I'll love that dude forever. Thank you for everything, coach. J.J. Watt also weighed in. Utmost congratulations to a truly great man and a hell of a football coach, a player's coach through and through, who knew how to grind when it was time to grind. And when to have a beer with you when it was time for a beer. A legend who I am honored to have been able to call coach.
The one that jumped out to me is Arian Foster. I think Arian Foster is the poster child.
He's anti-football.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't follow the league.
Yeah, let me go back to that because I didn't even mention that. Yeah, he doesn't really care to talk football. I mean, he's a an altogether different person now. He's moved on, and he still found it necessary to do this. But I'm talking about, which is impressive, but I'm talking about just, like, if you're looking for the poster child of why Gary Kubiak was great, Arian Foster is it. Street free agent, man. And they had other guys ahead of him. He goes into the preseason, believe it was second year, maybe, and Kubiak just starts seeing things in him and developing him into this perfect running back for Gary Kubiak's zone-blocking run scheme. There is no better example of why Gary Kubiak was great than Arian Foster. You can go back to his days as a coordinator in Denver. I get it. He had a 2,000-yard rusher and all that. But in terms of how he develops people and how he fits people and recognizes talent, I thought Arian Foster was it.
Gary Kubiak's retirement and the reaction to it kind of has me feeling like Jack Nicholson.
I see you put the sunglasses on.
I put some shades on because I'm feeling like Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
What if this is as good as it gets, as Jack Nicholson said in 1997? Here is Jack Nicholson in the movie, appropriately titled As Good As It Gets.
What if this is as good as it gets?
I'm asking myself that question. Because if it is, that really stinks. It's one thing for Patriots fans as they continue to start life after Tom Brady to talk about the glory days and those six Super Bowls. It's another thing for Cowboys fans. I think they've been doing it for damn near 30 years to talk about the triplets and winning those Super Bowls. There are teams who hang their hat on one Super Bowl forever. Gary Kubiak was 61-64 as a coach. He was 2-2 in the playoffs. I'm not knocking Gary Kubiak, but I'm just hoping that I don't look back at a very average, we'll say average, time for the Houston Texans and the glory days of the Texans organization and look at that and say, that's as good as it gets. I love Kubiak, but I don't want this to be some sort of like pedestal that we talk about because that's a pretty damn low bar.
Yeah.
As exciting and as fun as those teams were to watch.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong there, but I also feel like Gary Kubiak, you have to give him credit for what the franchise, I mean, he truly did inherit an awful franchise. He took a bunch of L's early that because of kind of where the Texans are right now. They didn't have the roster. They didn't have a quarterback. You know, he went out and got, you know, Matt Schaub, gave Matt Schaub the best years of his life, made a ton of money for Matt Schaub. There are a few qualifiers, you know, when it comes to Kubiak and his record.
I thought there was something interesting that happened yesterday as we play the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610 that I don't think anybody's talking about that I think could impact a Deshaun Watson trade in the ideal trade, in my opinion, if you were to trade Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets seem to make the most sense because they have the number two overall pick. They have four first-round picks in the next 2 years. They have a lot of stuff that you could get if, and I don't want to do this, but if you decided to trade Deshaun Watson. However, yesterday, David Mulligetta, he got another client. David Mulligetta, if you don't know, is the agent of Deshaun Watson. He signed another client, Justin Fields, from the Ohio State Buckeyes. Let's assume that if the Texans traded Deshaun Watson and got that number two overall pick from the Jets, they wanted to draft a quarterback. Let's say that disgruntled Deshaun Watson gets his wish. He goes to New York. He joins Robert Saleh. Let's say the Texans love Justin Fields, and they think that Justin Fields could be the quarterback of the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
How do you trade a pissed off Deshaun Watson, who's represented by David Mulligetta, who's really the prime voice in the Watson camp, and then draft Justin Fields number two? Wouldn't you almost have to eliminate the possibility of being able to get Justin Fields if Deshaun Watson just demanded to get out of your organization? Because Mulligetta represents Fields too. Don't you think they would refuse? You don't think he would refuse it? If his top client, Deshaun Watson, if David Mulligetta's top client, Deshaun Watson, says, screw you guys, I'm out of here, and he goes to the Jets, you really think David Mulligetta would want Justin Fields to be a Texan? Or do you think he would pull like an Eli Manning / John Elway and refuse to come here? Doesn't that make sense?
Okay, now I know what you're saying. That went over my head because I was like, I don't think teams really care
No, it's not the team. It's the agents.
No, I know. I don't think teams really care about bad feelings with agents. If they did, they would never have any players because there's always going to be stuff like that. Conversely, I think a player like Justin Fields would be a rookie. He'd be 20 years old, I think, or 21 maybe. Would be a rookie in the NFL. I think he would have that buffer on his rookie contract to be able to just, you know. And number two overall is a lot more money, man.
If I'm trying to build an empire like David Mulligetti,
he has it.
And yeah, I mean, I think he's trying to take it even further. If I'm trying to do that, and I get Deshaun Watson out of town, I think this impacts free agents. And I think if you did trade him to the Jets, I don't think Justin Fields would be a possibility. I truly don't. I think that they would play some hardball there because Fields is going top five probably regardless. He could be one of those guys that slides to 12, but who knows?
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's even a possibility. I don't even think he's on the board. I think we start looking at like Max Hall from BYU or
Zach
something
Wilson
like that.
Wilson or what's that kid's name or whatever. Yeah. I mean, maybe, but I don't think it's going to matter that as much as I get your point. I totally do. But I don't think it's going to matter as much for a guy like Justin Field. Would you rather go 10 or 12 or number 2? I mean, that's an easy choice.
No. I'd rather put my client in the right situation, especially if my top dog forced his way out of town. Of course, that's hypothetical. Jags hire Daryl Bevel as their offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith, former Titans offensive coordinator, now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Some interesting hires. Mm-hmm. Former Texans quarterback Dave Ragone, his offensive coordinator now. God, he sucked with the Texans. And defensive coordinator Dean Pease unretires, and he's going to join him in Atlanta. That's a hell of a job. I don't know what Dave Ragone is as far as being an offensive coordinator. I doubt it matters too much because I'm assuming that Arthur Smith's going to be the boss hog there. But you got Dean Pease out of retirement. Very impressive. Tennessee fell apart when Pease left this year. One of the worst defenses in the NFL. Pretty
he's
good
all
right stuff.
With the Ravens too.
Pretty good stuff.
He's a good coordinator, 71. We'll see. It's a little bit of a risk offensively, I think, with Ragone, but Arthur Smith's going to be calling those plays.
Dwayne Haskins gets a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. David Mulligetta, by the way, said peace out to Dwayne Haskins. Used to represent him, but not anymore. Dwayne Haskins gets a second chance with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Championship weekend, Tampa Bay at Green Bay, 2:05. Kickoff right here on Sports Radio 610. Buffalo at Kansas City. Right after that, 5:40. Also, right here on Sports Radio 610. Just look at the history that can be made here. You have Mahomes, who could have more Super Bowl rings than Aaron Rodgers in the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. You have Tom Brady looking to widen the gap and host the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, looking for that seventh. Mahomes looking to get his second at the age of 25. Brady got his at the age of 26. A lot of history here. And Tom Brady, this is not his first rodeo. It's his first rodeo in the NFC, but Tom Brady is looking forward to leading off Championship Sunday right here on Sports Radio 610.
Our coaches have done a great job preparing us for this moment. Played our best football of the year when we needed it the most. The team has done a great job coming together and performing and executing under pressure. You know, two road playoff wins gives us a great opportunity to go on the road again to beat one of the great football teams in the league. It's how it should be, you know. The two best teams in the conference should be getting together and seeing how it all goes down.
This is going to be so fun to watch. First of all, with Brady and Rodgers, I mean, you don't need to say a whole lot more. But these teams, I mean, it is one of those matchups. Tom Brady loves to throw, all of a sudden again, loves to throw the long ball. He's been throwing the ball downfield more. It's going to put pressure on the Packers. The Packers had some struggles with the Tampa defense. It was one of those that they had some struggles
Tampa
with.
Tampa beat the crap out of them the first time.
They had some struggles with the Tampa defense. How do they adjust?
38-10.
Yeah. How do they adjust to that, you know, the next time they face them? I'm just all about what Aaron Rodgers is doing right now. It's the most impressive thing to me in the year.
Antonio Brown, by the way, out.
Saw that.
For the Tampa Bay Bucs. So one of Tom Brady's favorite targets not going to play. J.J. Watts, big fan of Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be on the other side of Tom Brady. Got to think Aaron Rodgers would like to beat Brady in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 40-plus Brady. Beating Brady in a playoff game, that's going to mean something to Aaron Rodgers. Here's J.J. Watt talking about Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has the physical tools. He's also extremely smart. I mean, the guy knows where to position guys, knows the checks to make, how to manipulate everything from the snap count to audibles to everything. So I think when you put those things together, that's the rare combination that makes guys get to the level that he's at. There's obviously very few of those around, and there have been very few of those throughout the league. So you look forward to that opportunity as a defender to play against a guy at that level because you respect it, but you also look forward to competing against it.
I look forward to watching it. Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. First time we've ever been able to see this, at least in the postseason. I look forward to this. I look forward to seeing what Josh Allen looks like when he's on the opposing sidelines from Patrick Mahomes. Because you know Patrick Mahomes is the best in the game right now. Josh Allen's one of those guys where 5 to 10, you really don't know where. And I do think, despite the fact he's been so good, I think there are some skeptics.
There still are some skeptics. Yeah.
This is where you kind of...
What are you going to say?
Right the ship.
If he beats Patrick Mahomes and gets to the Super Bowl, what are you going to say?
I think they got a shot.
I do.
I think they got a very good chance.
I do. They're going to have to run the ball some more. Man, I couldn't believe it. What was it, 12, 13 straight passes last
year? Yeah, they were abandoning that.
They just gave up totally on the run. You're going to have to do some of that.
They will give it up.
Yeah.
He will give it up. The Honey Badger, Kansas City Chiefs, former Houston Texan. He's been known to find some weird ways to be motivated. Sometimes he'll make stuff up. He'll search his name on Twitter. Is that authentic, Honey Boo Boo?
I'm highly motivated to prove to everybody that I'm one of the best, you know, players in this game. And I still have that motivation. I find any little reason to motivate myself. I can tell myself anything and spin it in my head anyway.
At least he's being honest.
I love that. I love the authenticity. Could I interest you in some cliche bells?
Please.
Josh Allen got you covered.
Just try not to make it bigger than what needs to be. It's another game. You know, we're beating with one heartbeat right now, and it's a good feeling. We all trust each other, and we're out in that field. We got each other's backs.
Good Lord.
Way to go, Josh. Don't give anything away.
My gosh.
Don't spill the candy in the lobby.
But what about Patrick Mahomes? Is Patrick Mahomes going to be balling? Eric Bieniemy, who interviewed with the Texans this Monday, asked that very question. I think he feels pretty good about Patrick Mahomes.
He looks like Pat to me. So he's been great in meetings. You know, he's fun. He's energetic. So you can always count on Pat being Pat.
Eric Bieniemy versus Leslie Frazier. Another thing we got to keep an eye on around here.
The Houston Texans Future Bowl. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Rockets make a trade. They're in Detroit tonight. The Rockets trade a future-protected second-round pick to Cleveland for Kevin Porter Jr. James Harden and the Nets, by the way, they're in Cleveland tonight looking to avenge that loss they had two nights ago.
On the trade, he's going to hang out and just...
He's going to hang out.
No, I'm saying...
I mean, I feel the same way.
I was going to say he's going to hang out with John Lucas. They're going to attach him at the hip with John Lucas. Hopefully he comes around. He's kind of been a problem child, a little bit petulant, and try to get something out of him. That's pretty much it on the trade.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Fringe sports. No disrespect to people that are diehards, mm-hmm. but UFC, it's a sport, but, you know, it's kind of one of those. What am I thinking? A luxury.
I thought you said French sports.
I said fringe. it's like a luxury. It's not something that I watch every day. But tomorrow, Conor McGregor is fighting UFC 257. I'm worried about Mike Evans because these fights go late. Mike Evans has a big game on Sunday.
He's a big fan, isn't he?
He's a huge fan of UFC. He's been known to do the celebration with the punching in there. Mike Evans might be staying up late to watch old Conor. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, listen to Mike.
Mike, I'm growing fond of your touchdown celebration. I know you're a boxing guy. You watch a lot of fights, different types. Mm-hmm. You train that way. Like, tell me about that because you knocked some people out this year in the end zone.
Even though I scored the most I've ever scored, I don't know why I didn't do it as much, but maybe because of the fans. When the fans are there, it's a little easier to feel it. I stole that from like D Wade and LeBron. They did the little boxing celebrations here and there. And, you know, I do boxing workouts. I think it's an amazing sport. You know, MMA and boxing, I love watching it. Those are some f-ing warriors. And it's a cool celebration, just to add in. Easy.
Yeah, he's a fan.
Might have to tape it, Mike. Get to bed. Get to bed. We got to pour one out for a legend. One of the best to ever do it. Hammer and Hank. Hank Aaron has left us the home run king to many.
Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. And listen to this crowd. This sellout crowd is cheering Henry Aaron, the home run king of all time.
Just certain ones just hit you differently, right? I mean, certain ones, and maybe not you, you're younger, but this one just hit me differently.
What would have happened to those guys that went on the field when that happened, by the way, these
days?
Oh,
my gosh. Well, keep this in mind. I'm glad you brought that up. He had a threat. Remember the documentary on him and the letter, the death threats he was getting? There was one of them was, I'm going to be in the stands. I'm going to shoot you if you hit it. So while he's circling the bases, he has to be in the back of his mind thinking, someone's going to put a bullet in my head while I'm rounding the bases. I mean, think about that. Think about that. Credible death threats while that was going on. But let me interest you in a stat, and I'm going to interest you in a stat that I think is one of the greatest stats in the history of sports.
Okay, don't oversell it.
I am not oversell. Will you tell me if I oversold it, okay? If Hank Aaron never hit a home run, none of the home runs, what did he end up with, 755 or something like that? Let's say he never hit a home run. He would have finished his career with more than 3,000 hits.
It's impressive.
Numbers are hot.
Pretty good.
That's more than impressive.
Shout out to the legend, Hank Aaron. Pour one out. Home run king, Hank Aaron. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The search updates. A bullet dodged and many tears cried. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.